All right, so I did say I'm teaching on self-discipline, and I guess how I wanted to come about was, this last weekend we actually got to celebrate our 1 year wedding anniversary.
Hey, let me be the first to congratulate anybody who's married to her for a year. I mean, you gotta be disciplined.
So to celebrate, we did take it just a little weekend getaway to up north, and it was a cabin that just didn't have no internet, no cable, just kind of been able to spend the time, just there with ourselves, kind of take away the distractions of life. And so, as we were there, we kind of just got talking, hey, what has happened in this 1 year that we've been married? Looking back at, what God's done in our lives this last year, and actually seeing what it is that we want to see in this next year. Setting goals, setting plans to, hey, maybe we want to see this happen in our life. Maybe we want to see this happen. And in doing that, we kind of also agreed that this weekend we would really spend it just every morning having that time with God. And, we'd get up, turn on some worship music, we would sit down and we want to read for the first hour of the morning. Eat breakfast, read, and have that time with Him. And so the book that I wanted to read was something that Sammy actually gave me, and it's from the men's Bible study, and it was The Disciplines of a Godly Man. And it was kind of like the first page kind of opened up, and I was like, well, that was kind of hit me in the face. That was thinking what I'm that's what I want to teach on today, and it's because I needed to get more self-disciplined. That was the whole point of that weekend, was kind of, sitting down, reading every day. And so that's where I kind of got the thought of this teaching. And so I wanted to say self-discipline in the fact that we have goals, our goal being that we want to be a disciple of Christ. That's our main goal, because when we are a disciple, we can go and make disciples. And all to be a disciple, it takes the self-discipline. So I said, what's a goal without self-discipline? An example would be New Year's resolutions. How many set New Year's resolutions in January?
Not anymore.
How many in starting October? How many people saying in October can say that their New Year's resolutions are still intact? Just one?
Well, I said it not to have any.
Okay. So I actually have statistics on New Year's resolutions, and it's that about 40% of Americans create New Year's resolutions. Some of the top being to lose weight, eat better, exercise more, get a better job, or get closer to God. 25% don't make it past the first week. 40% don't make it past the month. 50% don't make it 6 months. And only 9% actually complete it for the year. And it was because there was a lack of self-discipline. They let things get in the way of the goal that they had set for themselves for that year. And so I have 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. And that's where that self-discipline is going to come in hand, because we have to train to be a disciple, to be more like God each and every day. And the reason we have to train is because in Romans 3, 9 through 18, it says, what shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin, as it is written. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God. All have turned away, they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It's kind of saying, that's not our inclination, is to be godly. That's why we have to train each and every day, and training being, hey, maybe it's getting into your word. Maybe it's setting that time apart to say, I need to do this every day. Are we going to have the self-discipline and the self-control to actually sit down and do it? And just an example, is in the book, it actually had an example, which I'm going to share, is it's Mike Singletary. And if you don't know who Mike Singletary is, he was a linebacker for the Chicago Bears. He was actually a two-time defensive player of the year and a part of the 1985 Bears Dream Team. And if you don't know, he's a little bit smaller of a guy, maybe 6 foot. And, you know, he became a great player not because he was just that talented, but because of the time and the discipline he put into meeting his goal of being a good player. It said that Mike would sit down and watch the same play for 50 to 60 times. That way, when it would come to actual play time, that he would know in, at any moment what an offensive player, depending on what action they make, what they're going to do next. And I feel like that's what kind of what we need to do in our Christian life, is that we're going to study and train so that no matter what comes up, we have a set standard of what we're going to do next based on that situation. And I remember even for myself, you know, another example being that in baseball, I remember we would go through situationals all the time. I remember one of the most common ones is if you have a runner on first and you have a runner on third. Now, in most high school, the next thing that would probably happen would be the person on first would try to steal. Because if you don't know, if the ball's not hit, the person on first is going to try to advance to second, because if the catcher tries to throw down to get him out, the person on third will try to advance home, and it kind of creates a weird, you don't know what to do next. So it's one of the biggest things you try to understand, that if this happens, these are the actions that are going to take place afterwards. So if we can, I wanted to use that as an example, because we'll sit down and we'll train for those situations for hours, and we'll understand that we need to react in that way for that situation, but why aren't we sitting down and, you know, training for what action we need to take when something else comes up in our life spiritually? So I have 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. And it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, and I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And there is just a few things that I wanted to use from that. So, you know, we're not running aimlessly. We have the goal in mind. What are we going to do to achieve that goal? And then the other thing being that we're doing it to get a crown that lasts forever. That's the reward for doing, for being self-disciplined. And that should be the drive that we have to complete our goal. And it says the last thing in 27, it says, "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave." Well, we all know that it's not easy to be self-disciplined, and most times our flesh is going to be the thing that is the hardest to overcome. For me, being that I want to read more and read, make it a habit out of it, it's waking up early. I already got to go to work at 5:30 in the morning, so if I want to get up early, I'm waking up at 5, maybe 4:45 in the morning. Well, that alarm comes on, it's not, "Oh, yep, got to get up, let's do it." It's, you can go to bed. You can do it tomorrow morning. And that's where you got to send those blows to your body and say, "No, I'm doing it." That's what self-discipline is. It says, I wrote down, training is never going to be easy. I mean, it's mental too. It's not even just the physical of just being tired. It's, you know, you got to change that mental note to say, "No, I have it. I'm doing it. This is why I'm doing it. I'm going to be self-disciplined and actually take charge and meet the goal that I have set before me." I wrote just a little note that kind of came. It said, "Self-discipline is doing the activity despite the difficulties." And one person that I know had great difficulties was Jesus. And when he was 12, we see that, or whatever age he was at that time, when he stays behind from his parents and they come to find him, and he says, "I'm here to be about my Father's business. was kind of the first decree of what his goal was and what he had in mind, was to always be about his father's business. And we see that through his time, he was always about his father's business, but that didn't come without the difficulty. And, you know, it might be difficult, but most times when we can create a habit out of it, it becomes easier and it becomes more enjoyable. Just like going to the gym. As much as it's a pain in that first week, maybe 2 weeks, you end up starting to enjoy it because you enjoy the way you feel after doing it. It becomes something you want to do each and every day, and it doesn't become so painstakingly. And it's the same way with reading our Bible. You know, if we get up early and we're doing it for a week, 2 weeks, it might start to get a little bit easier to get up at that time. Maybe you'll even start making coffee or making breakfast, you know, making things easier for you to get up.
Is that like a subliminal message for your wife there?
Hey.
Senior taking this new course.
I'll be the first one to say that she's actually, I tell her to go to bed because she'll actually get up for me and make me breakfast. So.
What a woman.
Never did that for me.
Jesse's got her trained right, all right? Your wife dropped the ball somewhere once. It was a discipline.
But habits create the condition of your heart. Kind of being whatever your habit is at that time might be the way that you might react. I remember being, I'm Kenny's son, so you often hear the things that he says often. And one of the most memorable things will probably be get to your fifth thought. Creating that habit of getting to that fifth thought, you might be a little bit more disciplined in what you say to the person when they may not be so nice to you. And sometimes it's not just the fifth thought, right? Right. So I have Psalm 119 and 112. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. And the way we're going to be able to do that is if we're always in our word, especially for me. I also have, with self-discipline, we have to have self-control. Same with, you know, getting to that fifth thought. We can have the discipline to know what to say, but sometimes in certain situations, we know what we need to say, but we don't say it. So we got to have the self-control to say, all right, I'm doing it. I'm getting to that fifth thought, maybe the 10th, maybe the 15th. So Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Just like corruption and destruction can enter a city whose walls are broken down, we are susceptible to the devil's lies and temptations if we have no self-control. We can have the discipline to go to the gym. We can have the discipline to eat healthier. But, I mean, do we have the self-control to say no to the things that might arise in between then? Are we going to take every activity that we might do before the gym and put it off the gym later and later until it creates not having that habit anymore? Or when you're eating healthier and someone may not be, and you show up to a party and it's like, hey, we got cookies or we got chips, are you going to be able to say no? That's where that self-control comes in, especially when reading the word, like I'm trying to get better at, is that, you know, am I going to be able to say no to activities that keep me out late? Because I know that I need to go to bed earlier, especially trying to get up early to read my word. That should be my priority. And that should be where my self-control comes in and says, no, I got something else that I have in mind. It's my goal. So I'm actually going to pass on this one. And I said, I have a few things that are actually going to, I feel, help that we can have self-discipline and self-control. And the first one being, know your weaknesses. I kind of just said mine. I have to get up very early. And my weakness being that my alarm is on my phone. It's easy just to go click, right back to bed. So knowing my weakness, maybe I should put my phone on the other side of the room. That way I have to get up to actually turn my alarm off, and it actually gets me out of the bed, and it's my first step, just getting out of bed. Makes the next step a lot easier.
One of the dads.
Chip right off the block there, but
Just for his information, I have the alarm close to my side of the bed, but lately I've learned to ignore it, and the wife gets out of the bed from the other side, goes around, shuts it off, and she makes sure I get up after that.
You made a really excellent point there. Most people, when they want to do something, they'll sit down and make a chart of their strengths. And that's ridiculous. If that's your strength, you don't need to work on it. You're so right that you take a look at your weaknesses. That's what you need to work on. But most of us don't want to admit we even have a weakness.
Yeah. And so I have number two being rid yourself of the temptations. So the number one temptation keeping most of us away is our phones. I have two, one for work and one for home. It's double the distraction from things I need to get done.
Betty, show me your phone. Don't you worry. We won't have no distraction to get a phone like Betty's got.
That's true.
There you go.
And that's kind of that next point, is that how are we going to eliminate the distraction? If I'm trying to read, maybe I need to take my phones and put them in a different room, or even just shut them off.
Yes.
Sometimes it's the couch. Sometimes you need to pass the couch to get somewhere else where you're not going to feel comfortable, because feeling comfortable is probably another one thing that keeps us from stepping out and getting to our self-discipline. But sometimes it's work. Sometimes you can get fed up with work and get caught up in it to where you distract yourself from what you should really be doing when you're in that state of mind. So maybe you can set limits or time zones as to when you can have emails or notifications go off for certain people or certain times. And it's just eliminating that so that you can fulfill your goal and have that self-discipline and the self-control to finish it. I did put setting clear goals and making a plan. You know, we can have all the excuses in the world, but if we set a clear goal, like reading, you know, maybe the next thing I need to do is say, well, I'm reading this chapter, or I'm reading this book, and I'm going to read from this time to this time, so that when I get up, it's already planned out. I can't say I got up and I'm like, well, I was trying to figure out, you know, where to start, where to do it. You know, making a plan can be one of the easiest things to help get us into a self-disciplined state of mind. And I said, have someone to keep you accountable. Probably one of the biggest things and easiest things is to have someone to remind you, hey, are you still keeping up with what you're doing? Or even just have them read the same thing as you. You know, if there's a book that you have in mind that you want to read, say, hey, maybe I can grab you, we can read this together, you know, separately, maybe we can get together every once in a while and talk about what we've been reading. Help someone to keep that the same goal to help keep you accountable until you can make a habit out of it yourself. And then start. We have to start. Just like, there you go. I don't know if that was, yeah. Sounds like she's got something to say. Starting being probably the hardest thing. Just like getting out of bed, that's the first step. Starting the goal that you have set and actually making a habit out of it.
As Jesse said, starting it is a hard part, but everybody that had the New Year's resolution started. It might have only lasted a day, a week. It's finishing what you planned on starting. All too often we get sidetracked and we never complete the task, never get to the end of that goal. So it's seeing that finished, having a vision for the finish of that, not just the start. Because you're going to have all those difficulties in the midst of that and all the trials and all the temptations. But if you don't see the value at the end of that, of finishing what you started, you lose sight of that value of why you even started it, like the crown. Why do we do what we do? Do we understand that crown that we're going to receive? You know, because if we fully understood the crown that we're to receive, we would never want to stop. We would continue on. But it's understanding that, and you're only going to understand that by studying the Word.
Donna has something.
I know. Speaking of resolutions, this year when I made my resolution, I felt the Lord impress upon my heart to seek him out what that resolution should be, and you have a better chance of coming to the end of it and then starting, you know. But when we seek God for that resolution, what is it you want me for this year, Lord? So.
And all of this is, you know, we want to have the self-discipline and the self-control to be a disciple of Christ. And that's kind of where I'm getting at it with this. And so I have Psalm 19, 7 through 11. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are much more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward." And so, like he was saying, you know, if we keep in mind that the reward we have is much greater than the difficulty we have seeking out the reward, it would be a little bit easier to be self-disciplined. And I wanted to pair that with John 15, 7 through 8. And it says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So, you know, if we're abiding in him, and we're seeking out the goal that we have set in mind, which to be God's disciple, and we bear the fruit that is reading our word or anything of prayer or worship, that we would be his disciples. And so with that, I also have a song I wanted to play.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form, and if the stars were made to worship, so alive, I can see your heart in everything you make. Every burning star, signal fire of grace. And if creation sings your praises, so will I. Don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. When as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. And if it all reveals your nature, so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. on my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created, light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I can find it here. And if you left the grave behind you so alive, I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart and feel you a different way. Every precious one, child you died to save. Like you would again 100 billion times. But one measure could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
I really like that song because it kind of gives you the perspective of everything God's doing. And, you know, if we want to be his disciple, our answer's got to be, so will I. You know, if that's where you want me, I'll be there. And it's kind of getting into that, you know, self-discipline to get ourselves to that place to answer that way. And so that was it.
We've got about 5 minutes. I think Jesse purposely went a little bit short because he'd like to answer some questions, right?
Sure.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone, question form, comments? Anybody? There we go. Come on. Say something. Yes.
The song was, you know, I like that song. I don't know if I ever heard it before, but I like the video that was there because, you know, it really speaks, you know, what God has done. And when you see all the creation and all the things, and then we think about our, you know, being disciplined ourselves in that, you know, and we think God can't help us, or, you know, a lot of times we, you know, we kind of throw up these prayers of like, well, if you can help me, or, you know, but when you look at that vastness and you think, you know, you're his child, just like, you know, this one running around over here, and, you know, what would her father not do for her, you know? So we, you know, I think that that's what that song kind of spoke to me.
Amen. Anyone else? Kenny.
Now, going to work, I was driving down 94, and there's a billboard sign that says, "Every saint has a past." You know, like, well, okay, I can see that. And then coming home, I see the other side of the billboard, and it says, "Every sinner has a future." I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I started thinking about Paul and how much Paul blew it with his initial Christianity, only to be have a revelation and then later to turn around and truly serve Christ. You know, so many times we let our past stop us from our future. Our failures stop us from accomplishing the goal that he has for us. And that's what that's designed to do. The enemy wants to keep you focused on your past, and then you lose sight of the future that God has for you. There's a value, me and Shane was talking about this yesterday morning, there's a value that we don't often see in doing the things that God's asked us to do. In this world, there's a value portrayed all day long on the phone, on the TV, of if you do this, this is what you're going to get. If you do that, this is what you're going to get. Instant gratification. self-discipline doesn't always come instantly. The results aren't always instantly. And our society and our culture today is about instant, about fast, about quick. Whereas back in the day, you had to put the time in to accomplish those goals. And you've seen people try to circumvent putting the time in, creating that false facade like the housing market. Everybody can have a house. And then it all crashes. You know, you can turn around and have your dream home, $300,000. You know, they'll tell you whatever they got to tell you. And the thing is, the scripture often comes to mind is that the consequences of sin is being delayed continues to keep us in that sin. If we don't see the ignorance in not doing what Christ asks us to do, because we don't know that, then we're going to keep being ignorant of the fact that we have an awesome destiny laid out for us. And we're being robbed of that. You're being robbed of that simply because you won't put the discipline in to obtain that awesome destiny.
Amen. Amen. I think it was great just that you're talking about planning. Sometimes as Christians, we get a little fluffy-wuffy, and we're just going to float around and wake up, and the Holy Spirit's going to direct us and guide us and carry us and do everything for us, and we don't have to think. We don't have to read the Word. The Holy Spirit will speak for me. I think if I read the Word correctly, it says it'll bring to our remembrance. Remember means something that's already there. How can you remember a word you've never seen? How can you use God's Word if you've never read it, right? The Holy Spirit is there as a helper, right? To guide us, give us the power and strength, but we have to do the work, right? We're the grunts here. We're the ground pounders. We're the one that does all of the fighting, right? Somebody else does the thinking. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Our job is to get down there and go this way, go that way, shoot that one, wave to that one, whatever. Shoot arrows of love, I meant, of course, on this recording. But the main thing is planning. Plan your day out. Plan what God's going to do. Plan a reading plan. Yes, absolutely. There is nothing wrong with that, right? If not, you're planning to fail. Pastor.
Pretty good job. You know, as I was thinking of discipline, a lot of times we as Christians, we compartmentalize our spiritual life and then our so-called natural life or our jobs and things like that. And I was thinking as you were talking about discipline, how many of us see our secular, not that there is such a thing, job as being more disciplined there and bringing glory to God through that? See, we want to get up early, read the Bible, which is good, or pray, all those things. But how many of us will, you know, go to the job, I'm going to get there a few minutes early, maybe I've got to set up the station. Maybe I've got to, you know, check the machine or, you know, make sure I've got the tools for the job, or maybe I just get there to have coffee ready for everybody. You know, all those little things can add. I talked about this before, you know, that when I was on the police department, nobody liked making coffee. They had a coffee pot sitting there that probably hadn't been cleaned in 50 years. I mean, you look at this thing and it was like, you know, Louis Pasteur could have put some cotton in there, I think, and, you know, checking for the abiogenesis. But so what I said, you know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to make coffee, or I'll get coffee for everybody. Just, you know, it was no big spiritual thing, but just to bless them. And I've told the story about the sergeant that I had, and he was, you know, mean old cuss, and, you know. But that led to doors opening to him at the end of his life to be able to share the gospel with them and give his life to the Lord. So you got to take that discipline, not just, you know, okay, I prayed my 5 minutes, I read my Bible, doing that. Okay, now I'm going to work. I could be more disciplined there for the glory of God in somehow, some way. What can I do a little bit different? And nobody might even notice it, but you're doing it unto Him. And so in every facet of our life, whether it's that scripture reading and what have you, or in the so-called secular realm, you know, take inventory there, because how many of us know Christians? Oh, you know, they're at church, they're there all the time, and then they get on the work in the workplace, and they're the worst workers or the worst representatives for the kingdom that you're ever going to meet. So, you know, that's why I like, and, you know, because we got to be holistic when it comes to these principles and discipline, and you'd be amazed at how even in those realms it will open doors for the advancement of the kingdom.
All right.
Jesse, everybody give Jesse a hand. Thank you, Jesse.
I don't know where you get your teaching ability, but it's very good. Amen.
Thank you.
And give my wife a hand for making breakfast this morning. And give me a hand. I help carry it in. Well, I opened the door while the ushers carried it in, all right? That's a heavy door, though. Give me a hand. Come on. Thank you. All right. We got plenty of time. We can get down front there and do a little bit of praying this morning. So, Jesse, who would you like to close?
Matt can close.
Matt. Good choice. Pastor Matt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very disciplined. Try to.
That's why I said try. I always try. Right. Work in progress. All right, Father. I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for Jesse and the word that you gave him. Lord, I believe that we all need a little bit of self-discipline in our life, Lord, and I just pray that we come to you for strength, Father. And whenever we feel low and down and feel like we can't do it, you say that you will strengthen us, Lord, in our weakness. So I just pray that we come to you, Lord, and we take Jesse's word into our everyday life, like Pastor Don was saying, not just in the word, but in our daily life so that we can reach others. And Lord, I just pray that we can take this and have a good day and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.